yesterday. No introductory fluff. Let's get to it. Anybody say amen? Let's get down to it, okay? So here we go. Yesterday, I quoted Psalms 71, the first six verses. And in his first, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. That was his statement of faith. He launches into prayer, and it's a prayer, the rest of this psalm. And we talked about that. And I think I made the comment, I know the title of the message is supposed to be Protecting Your Faith by Making It Strong. I didn't take that and develop that like I'd like to, so I'm going to make a few comments on it to get us down to the next six verses. I'll quote them, and then we'll preach from them. We used Jude 20 toward the end of the message, which was the message. Oh, anyway. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, remember, protecting your faith and making it strong. We have responsibilities for our faith. You can only live so long off someone else's faith, and pretty soon it's got to become yours. From the master to the disciple, he was preparing them to have faith that when he was gone, they're still going to make it. And he knew that faith can be weak. He knew faith can be strong. Sometimes our faith is hard to find. Sometimes it can fail. Remember what he said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you to sift you, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. How have you been willing to admit that on one or two rare occasions in your journey, your faith has failed you? Mine has. It didn't show up when I needed it bad, okay? It was weak and those kind of things. So your faith, I have responsibility in building it, making it strong. He said, building up yourselves. And I made the comment, don't you wish you could hire someone else to do your exercising and you got in shape? That's not how it works. Say amen now. You know that's not how it works. We wish it did. Well, let me give you this illustration. When I was about 13, I went through this growth spurt. When I was 12, I got kind of pudgy. You've seen your kids do this. We all have done this when we was growing up. When they start plumping out, it ain't going to be long. They're going to thin down and stretch up. Okay, it's how you grow. And I went into this. We just had Titus go through this. And he was worried because he wasn't growing with the rest of his cousins about the same age and stuff, and they'd all shot up over 6 foot tall, and he was kind of concerned about that. He pudged up a little bit, and then whew, shot up, and he's a skinny. I at 13, I got to 6 foot three, and I weighed 130 pounds. Some of you know what that looks like, don't you? When I turned sideways, it looked like a zipper. You know, just nothing to me. My arms looked like broomsticks. It was the same size here as it was. Do any of you remember those days? I was an absolute skin, couldn't walk, clumsy, you know, because you just growed so much, your joints ain't caught up with all that kind of stuff. Well, I'd flunked the fifth grade. Some of you knew that. I couldn't read, so I was dyslexic, and I flunked the fifth grade, so I'm already taller. I'm a year ahead of the kids, my classmates now, and I went into this growing spurt. And I don't know if you've ever seen this. Sometimes when guys grow and get their height and they're tall, they start doing this to stay down. They don't even know it. It's subconscious kind of. You don't want to be towering over everybody. You feel kind of like you're standing out. So I started walking hunched over. And my mother, she sang a great old hymn to me. She said, oh, walk like a man. Okay, never mind. Tall as you can. How have you ever heard that great old hymn? Never mind. That'll date you. That's going to date you. But she said, you straighten up. God's given you height. You stand up and walk like you. She said, I want you doing that. See, so anyway, a lot of these things going on. So Tim and I was walking home from junior high school, and two punks are coming at us. Now, what do you mean by punk? Roll the cigarettes up in the sleeve, you know, hair. Okay, put yourself back in the late 50s, early 60s, okay? They were punks, and they were coming down the sidewalk, and I saw them. I got news for you. I ain't hunting trouble, so I'm going to step outside. And I still remember the names, Larry Buxton and Rudy Barnhill. They were punks. And they pushed me, and I don't want no trouble. And he knocked me down, and I got up and took off running. And I got home, I was still shaking. My dad said, what happened? And I told him. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to hide from him. I don't want to run in them buzzing. I mean, that's a godly thing to do, amen. I was scared of this. He said, next time you see them coming, he says, and they're going to give you trouble. He said, don't you hunt for trouble. But next time, he said, you hit him in the face as hard as you can, then take off running. He said, next time he'll think so. And, well, anyway, I can't take in all this. But I lived in fear of that for a long time. Okay? So that would have been in the fall when I was 13. And Christmas time come around, and I'm still scared of this. I'm afraid of seeing them. They were bullies. That's all they were bullies. Bullies are cowards, but they like to push people around that are less capable of defending themselves, because I wasn't strong enough to stand up to them at that time. So my folks said, Tom, what do you want for Christmas? Now, 13, that's a hard time of life. You don't know what you want, okay? You know you ain't a little kid anymore, but you'd like to have some little kid presents. Anybody feeling my pain in this? We've seen that. So I said, I want some weights. What do you want some weights for? I said, I want to build up some muscles. I said, good night. Just disappear. And I'd seen some pictures of guys that I wished to look like, especially when I met Larry Buxton and Rudy Barnhill. Because and so they got me these weights. These old Ted Williams. Some of you are nodding. Okay, he was the guy in the Muscle magazine. And he had, and they were Ted Williams weights over concrete with plastic wrapped around them. And so they got me them. And I got news for you. I gave myself to them babies. I read them dumb magazines, how you spoke to curls for the girls and all the stuff you do. And I came out every day. I mean, I just gave myself to it. And within about a year, a little over, I was 190 pounds. How do you know at 13, you have to hide food from people? Do you know what I mean by that? Because you're eating everything. And I just went into this, got to have something to eat. And if it was laying around, I ate it. And you do that, and I've accommodated. And within another year, I was 6'4", and I weighed 215 pounds. And I'd become, as a sophomore, I'm playing varsity, and pretty soon all conference and all state and all this kind of stuff. You know what happened to me when I got to be 190 pounds? I still wasn't hunting trouble, but it gave me confidence if trouble came. Help yourself to the mustard, Jack. Any of you follow that or not? Every man in this room, to some degree or another, knows that it's nice to look down and there's something to it, okay? I got to college and went to 260, powerlifting, all that kind of stuff. I used to wear the muscle shirts, and man, I go by a mirror and I just go, When I go by the mirror now, I kind of go by like this. The older I get, the better I was back in them days. But what I'm trying to say is, by the way, when I was a senior, those punks, I think they dropped out of school. They were known as just punks, okay? Never changed. Oh, they rolled cigarettes. I hope there's somebody here who rolls their cigarettes on the camera. Yeah. But anyway, and I saw them. And I said to my buddy, who was an all-conference heavyweight wrestler, also a guard that played next to me, and my other buddy, John, who was a defensive end, I said, hey, come with me. I saw him over there at the school prep rise. I said, okay, come with me. And they didn't know what. They just knew, ooh, we're going to get into something. Okay, so the tone of voice and stuff. And they came with me, and they saw us coming, and they took off. And I went, yeah. Woo. I'm going to tell you something. As Christians, that's a physical thing that you can relate to. In the spiritual realm, there are bullies that want to bully your faith. They won't just push you around. Let me give you three of them. The world. Listen to this, how you deal with the world. How do you know the world likes to push Christians around? And Christianity, who wants to take a stand? And there seems like there's just this avalanche at times of worldly philosophy. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the ruins of the world and not after Christ. They're anti-Christ. And you stand for Christ, you're going to have somebody want to bully you around. You better be strong in your faith. It's when you get weak in your faith and knock you around. Listen to this verse. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcometh the world. Remember what Jesus said about the world? In the world, you're going to have, it's going to be trouble. Would you agree with that? In the world, you're going to have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer. Don't worry about that. I've overcome the world. Listen to this about he's overcome. How are we going to overcome it? For whatever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Not a weak faith. A weak faith that gets knocked around by the world, but a strong faith, the kind that turns the world upside down, is strong faith. And I have responsibility to protect my faith by making it strong with spiritual exercise, building up yourselves your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Let me give you another one. The flesh. We're told to walk by faith and not by sight. Boy, the temptation is always let me see it, and then I'll do it. And God says, you do it, you'll see it. Let me give you another one. It says, Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Ain't going to happen. Does that mean the lust of the flesh goes away? How do you know the lust of the flesh is going to track us to our grave? Would you say amen to that? And only one time you get rid of the lust of flesh, and that's when the old heart stops beating, because the claim is on this carcass here. But he says, walk by faith. The devil, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, brethren, I love Ephesians. The Reader's Digest version of Romans. And he gets to chapter 6. Chapter 5, he's talking about husband-wife relationship. Chapter 6, parent-child relationship, business relationship. And finally, he says, finally, I get down to the last thing I want to say to you. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness, or against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Put on the, I'm going to give it to you quick. Girdle of truth, breastplate of righteousness, sandals of peace, helmet of salvation, and above all, I love this, above all. Want that? I used to do that. Every day when I was a cop, I had to put on a gun belt. And I back then had put that thing on. I wouldn't dare go to work. But he says, above that, take the shield of faith with which you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. You ain't dependent upon someone. You're back up here and there. You're all alone sometimes. And the enemy comes in with temptations and trials to assault you. And he says, just take the shield of faith and you can quench every fiery dart of the wicked one, every temptation, every wicked thing he'd like to throw at you. Shield of faith. There's bullies out there. But a man strong in faith will say, take your best shot. You're going to pay. I'm tired of being your punching bag. Is this okay? How many of you can follow what I'm trying to do with this? I don't think I'm trying to do it. I think this is scripture. I think holding fast the profession of your faith without wavering. Why? Because faithful is he who promised. That ain't even in the message. How do you know we're not going to exhaust those verses that deal with our faith? Would you agree with this now? This book is all about, and it's things I have to do in my faith and build it up. Now let me quote to you these verses, and then we'll try to unpack some in it. Okay. Start with verse 7. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. My mouth shall be filled with thy praise and with thine honor all the day long. Cast me not off in the time of old age, nor forsake me when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Whew, what a prayer. What a prayer. By the way, those of you who are going to be here tonight, we're going to talk about warfare. When he says, I've got to be careful here, or I'll be into another whole message, and I don't want to do that. So you pray for me that I'll stick to it. So yesterday I left out about that much, and that's a lot of preaching, okay? Warfare, listen to this description. For mine enemies speak against me. He ain't talking Philistines. Why? And they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together. They're strategizing, saying, God hath forsaken him. That's a lie from the pit of hell. For God said, I will never leave. Come on. Where's your faith at, you see? But the devil is saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver. How do you know we always have a deliverer? Come on. See, these are all lies. He's talking about the unseen enemy that loved to have David's scalp hanging from his belt. He said, oh God, be not far from me. How do you know when God is near, things are different? Would you agree with that? But when he seems far away, and if you're going to be honest, there comes times in our journey of faith, we go through dark seasons of the soul and God seems hard to find. Come on. Come on, let's get real for a minute. It's not God, it's our problem. It's our embracing of the truth. I'm there. As a matter of fact, I'm only a prayer away. Now, I asked you to pray. Did you pray for me? I told you, I said, pray for me. I got to stay on track. I don't want to be ricocheting off of one disjointed thought to the next, but I feel like I am, but we'll slow down. Okay, strong refuge. I am as a wonder unto many. People are going to look at you and scratch their head if you're going to walk with the Lord. But thou art my strong refuge. Strong refuge. strengthening our faith. The Lord himself and his word are inseparably related. Would you agree with that? God and his word. Let me give you the verse. There are others. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. The word was God. You know, the word of God is a powerful. It's living. The word of God is living and powerful. It's active. It's moving. It's living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder of soul, spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and it's a discerner of the secret intents of a man's heart. The word of God is so powerful, way beyond what we know. The word of God. So if I were to say, thou art my strong refuge, I could also say that the word of God is a place I can run to and find strength for my soul. It's a refuge. It protects me. It's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How many of you know in dark times that's necessary? Just think of the analogy you know about Scripture and the benefits of me as a child, hearing the word of faith, believing, receiving Christ by faith, and now living, for as you've received Christ Jesus, Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up and established in the faith. And the faith is this book. My faith in God is inseparably related to the truths in this book about God. Behold, okay, now he is a rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth without iniquity, just and right is he. I believe that God has spoken to us the truth about himself. That's my faith. Faith comes by hearing. Somebody help me. Okay, so the refuge that I want to become strong, this in God, he said, but thou art my strong. The word of God is my strong refuge. God himself is my strong refuge. Okay. Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. I'm going to turn to another one. He said this to Timothy, that he needed to be nourished up in the words of faith and sound doctrine. Let me tell you what the word nourished up means. It's the Greek word trepho, and it means to feed. Let me give you some other scriptures that you should be familiar with, and I dare say you are, that use this word, to feed, nourish up, nourishment, okay? Feeding. Jesus, multitude, 5,000. How many of you are with me without a lot of more detail than that? You know where we're going. The disciples said, Jesus was moved with compassion. Do you know what the disciples said? Send them away. How many of you are glad that Jesus did not send them away? You know what he said in response? He said, sit them down. We're going to trepho them. We're going to feed them. We're not going to send them away. And the feeding of the 4,000, that's a different scene. They'd been there 3 days listening to him preach, and they'd eaten up all the food they'd brought and the gathering and stuff. And the disciples again said, send them away. He said, no. They'll faint in the way. He was concerned for them. Sit them down. We'll trepho them. We'll feed them. We'll give them some nourishment. Peter's words to the elders, 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 and 2, to the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight of it, not by constraint, but willing, and not for filthy lucre's sake, but of a ready mind. He said, trepho them at the top of the list. Feed them. How many of you remember the end of the Gospel of John, and Jesus is talking to Peter, and he asked him the same question 3 times. How many of you are familiar with this? He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. What did he tell him to do? Trepho them. Trepho them. We're supposed to be nourished up in the words of faith. We're supposed to be trephoed, okay, ourselves. Feed yourselves. Feed yourselves. 3 times he asked him that. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? He said, feed my sheep. He said, it's a strong refuge. 1 Peter 2:2, it says there's a time for milk. He rebukes the church in Corinth in chapter 6 and says, you're still on milk when you should be, in fact, on meat, yea, even strong meat, and feeding others who need the milk. The word of God is likened unto meat and bread and milk and butter and honey. There's scriptures that talk about the scripture, which is a good balanced diet. You need a certain amount of fats. Somebody say amen. You need a certain amount. How do you know that? You need more than that. There's a need for protein and grains and all the carbohydrates, all the different things. The Word of God is a good balanced diet. It's your sweeter than honeycomb. It's your man shall not live by bread alone. Help me, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So this is what I need to be nourishing myself up on if I ever hope to become strong, a strong refuge. And there are many, many other reasons why. Let me see if I'm about here. Yeah. The Word of God has more than just the physical nourishment that becomes strong in our faith because of what this says, and we choose to believe it, and we embrace the truth. This is truth whether I believe it or not. How many of you knew the Bible was true whether you believe it or not? But what happens to it is it becomes a mine, and it becomes strong in this, and as my faith in it, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by God. And so many times we want to understand something before we believe it. Spurgeon said, faith must precede all attempts to reason because God is impressed with faith, but he's not with man's reason. Do you realize if you and I got God all figured out, he would be nothing more than a product of our own brain? I mean, he's going to command. He says, you want to know me? You're going to have to know me by faith. Faith in what? This book. They're inseparable. Do you know that the Word of God is also good for cleaning? Now ye clean, Jesus said, through the word which was spoken unto you. It says in Ephesians 5, and there are other verses. He talks about a man who is supposed to wash. He's supposed to sanctify his wife through the washing of the water by the word. Now there's dynamics to just the Bible that we don't understand. But when we see in the scriptures that we should do something, we should just do it and trust God with the results. Let me try to illustrate it this way. Jesus said in Matthew's account alone, 6 times, have you not read? Have you not read? Have you not read? By the way, he's talking to people that had read, but they didn't get it. He said, have you not read? Do you not err, my brethren, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God? Reading. When I was still a police officer, after I committed my life to Christ, excuse me, somewhere in 1979, I heard a preacher preach on, you ought to read your Bible. I'd heard that my whole life and never done it. How many of you know hearing is not what changes our life, it's doing what we hear. Come on. You got to do something. Be doers of the word, not hearers. And I was so moved by it, I said, I'm going to do something with it. I'm going to read my Bible. In fact, in my mind, I thought, I'm going to read the whole thing. He talked about reading your Bible through in a year and stuff, and I said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to read my Bible. And I thought, once I got that done one time, I got that done, let's move on to something else. I didn't know that I'd end up reading it about 60 times. But there was a first for everything in this. I'm still a cop, and there were times I would handle things. I heard things. I saw things. They had a hard time getting it out of my mind. Things that I'd have been, how many of you be willing to admit you've heard some things you'd have been better off you just never heard? I've seen things I'd have been off and just never seen it. But once you do, she's there. How are you going to deal with it? I remember especially one night, I came home and it was midnight, Joyce and the kids upstairs in bed, and I just couldn't go up and lay down and go to sleep and flip a switch and go to bed. I said, man, I can't get that out of my mind. And I said, I'm going to go down and read a little scripture. I went down and read some scripture, and I felt like my brain had been... How have you know Christians are accused of being brainwashed? How have you be willing to admit there's times our brain could use a good washing? Come on, now help me with that. And I went down and read the scriptures, and I said, ooh, I feel like I've had a good bath. How have you know it's a wonderful thing to have a good bath and a nourishing meal all in the same time? I said, ooh, God, this is good. Just reading it. When I read the Bible, I just read it. I don't study it. I don't memorize it. I don't even meditate on it. I just read it. And I read it on a daily basis. Have for years, become a part of my life. I can't imagine it not being a part of my life now. But there was a time when I realized how difficult it was because I was always so preoccupied with lesser important things than my faith. And my responsibility to strengthen my faith, nourishing up my faith. By the way, any doctor, and there are doctors in here, will tell you that a great asset to good health is a good diet and exercise. In fact, my doctor told me, he said, if you ain't going to both diet and exercise, he said, if you can't do both, at least exercise. He said, God's made you. He didn't say God. He said, the body's made basically to detox through a number of ways. And he said, sweat's one of them. How do you know a man's supposed to make his living by the toil of his hands, sweat of his brow? Some of you get rid of junk. You get rid of stress toxins and all kinds of things that I've heard about. I'm thinking, okay, we can do that. Exercise. That's why Joyce and I, we went for our walk. We had umbrellas this morning. What are you people raining around here? Went for our little walk. We're going to do it. Exercise. But diet. How many of you know that if you only ate pop, drank pop, ate potato chips, ice cream, cake, cookies, donuts, okay, those kinds of things, if that's all you ate, how do you know eventually there's a price tag on that? You can't eat that stuff all the time. You actually have to have something that is nourishing, something that's good. In other words, if it's all you read was Sports Illustrated, New York Times, I'm not going to list them all. Can I tell you what that is? That's junk food. Amen, Tom. Good preaching. Well, thank you. If that's all you read, that's junk food. You need to read the scriptures, the nourishing of your soul with the word of God, the washing of your soul with the word of God. You need to. We need to have a good nourishing diet, a regular eating. Eat three times a day, usually eat around the same time. That's also something very healthy. A time to just have you not read, just read the word of God. In the reading of the Word of God, you may come across something like 2 Timothy 2:15. Let me give you 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, for all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. In other words, it's profitable to the point you could actually do this. And it's got profitableness to it. It's that good. Just see what I did. And Zechariah said unto the angel, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be. You want to know how you're going to know this is from? You're going to be dumb and not able to speak until the day these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And he said, well, wait, I take it back. How do you know that's not in there? Would you agree with that? He'd have loved to take it back, but he couldn't do it. It's just good. It's all good. It's all profitable. Just be in the Word of God. A good bath and a nourishing meal. Just learn to read the Word of God regularly. And then you're going to come across something, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study the Bible. Take a subject, a question. Ask God a question, and he'll say, it's in here. Listen, I don't know all the answers, but I know who does and where he keeps them. They're in here. Got issues? Answers are in here. And study to show yourself, not somebody else, approved unto God, a workman. It's going to be work. You don't have to be ashamed of this. I got to go to here saying, I don't understand this. God, will you teach me? The first thing God revealed to me in Scripture when I began to study was the virgin birth. I could not believe it. Of all the subjects that God revealed to me, if somebody would have asked me back then, Tom, do you believe in the virgin birth? I'd have said, yeah. You want to know why I'd have said, yeah? Because I've been told that's what we believe. That's one of the doctrines of my faith. But to defend it and know why, clueless. I couldn't have done it. You just peel me apart, ask me a few questions. I began to study that. Why do I believe that? And then God Almighty began to reveal from the book of Genesis chapter 3, the enmity between the seed of a woman and why Jesus was virgin born. Because a woman houses a seed that's holy. She's as sinful as the man, but the veil is torn and the seed comes in. The seed of man contaminates the seed of woman so that the child is born a sinner. But if the veil's never torn and the seed is fertilized because it's holy, every 30 days it dies and sheds innocent blood, a picture of the cross and of the sacrifice, the final sacrifice that's coming. Oh, my soul, when Mary said, how should this thing be seen? I know not a man. Oh, the Holy Spirit shall overshadow the power of the Most High shall come upon you. And that holy thing which was to be conceived in your womb, will be the Son of God. That's why we only have one Savior. He's a virgin-born Son of God. I went, whoa. I just went around. I wanted to talk to him. I was still a cop, and I wanted to talk to him about the virgin birth. Really? Let God reveal something to you. You'll live off it longer, and it'll strengthen your faith more than any sermon you've ever heard. And I got news for you. If you are a born-again believer, the Spirit, the author and interpreter lives within you. Go to God and ask Him, God, reveal something to me. And God delights to reveal things to people like you and I. Study the Bible. It doesn't happen on its own. It's the work of study. And it may take you 6 months to study or a year to study. How many of you have some things you're still studying for years? And you got answers to those things. But I know He does. Study. Memorize. Now, I could spend way too much time here. Get the Word of God in you. Get it in. What's the benefits from memorizing and then meditating, thinking on the Word of God? There was a guy by the name, I'm just going to jump to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, boy, that guy had a tough ministry. No converts. And God called him, He said, from the womb. He said, before I formed thee in the womb, I called you and set you apart to be a prophet to the nations. Okay, if that's the big deal, this is going to be a success. Can I tell you, he didn't meet anything but opposition his whole ministry. And finally, in the middle of it, he said, this ain't turning out. I'm getting smacked in the face, thrown in jail. This ain't working out, God. I'll tell you what, I was deceived, and you deceived me because you're stronger than me. I'm all done. Listen to this. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak anymore in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. And I was weary with fighting it, forbearing, and I could not refrain. He didn't last long, did he? That I'm all done. I'm walking away. The word of God was in him like a burning fire. And he says, I'm back. Felt like throwing in the towel and walking away from my faith, but your word. You're going to find in your journey of faith that the word of God and your faith are inseparable. God, what have you said? The pondering, the taking time for God and spending time in his word. Take care of your faith, dear people. Diet and exercise, the word and prayer. The 7 books I wrote dealt with the basics. I didn't say anything anyone in this room didn't already know. How many of you have heard at least once in your journey of faith you ought to read your Bible and pray? Let me see your hands. Nothing new. You know what that is? That's called the basics. You get away from the basics. Is coach in here? Any coach, football coach, will tell you this is worth his salt. Listen, razzle dazzle may win you a few games, but it won't win you a championship. You know what wins you championships? You got to run. You got to pass. You got to catch. You got to block. You got to tackle. Aren't you glad you came? Everybody know, you want to be a champion, you get the basics down, and at the end of the season, you'll be ahead. But if it's all this, The basics, read your Bible and pray. It'll build up your faith. It'll strengthen your faith. Jesus, disciples, Sea of Tiberias, Luke chapter 8, storm. They're leaving over here, Tiberias, center of the Sea of Galilee, over to Gadara. Gadara's over here, but there's a tomb. There's a cemetery out here. And there's a man there that is really struggling. He's got a lot of growlers, you know what I mean? He's packing some growlers. He's got demons. And Jesus is going over there to minister to him. And the storm came up suddenly. The disciples panic. By the way, when they left, he said, let's go to the other side of the lake. Now, you don't have to be sharp to figure this out, but if Jesus, the one, this is God, everything he speaks is the word of God. If he said, let's go to the other side of the lake, that means we're going to make it. How many of you know he did not promise them a pleasure cruise? Would you agree with this? He said, we're going over here. They don't know what the ministry is going to be like. This storm comes up suddenly, which is usually characteristic of Satan. Things are going along good, and all of a sudden the bottom falls out, and things are just unraveling. And you find yourself, carest thou not that we perish, accusing God of his lack of care. The one who leaves the 99 and goes for the one you can cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Can I tell you something? He cares for you and me better than anybody else on the planet. He really cares, and they're accusing him. And he stood up, he rebuked the storm. If it had been sent by the Father, he'd have said, blow on, boys, this is his help. He rebuked the storm, there's an instant calm, and listen to the question he asked the disciples, the people are going to establish the church. He said, where is your faith? That's a legitimate question. It's just a legitimate question. Ask yourself right now where you are at. Where's my faith? 1 to 10. How are we doing? Strong or weak? Where's my faith? Is there something I can do with my faith to make my faith in Him better, stronger? Yes. Diet and exercise is one of them. Take care of your faith, dear people. Don't miss the next statement. Take care of your faith. It's the only chance you've got to use it. How many of you know you will not have any faith in heaven because you won't need it? It'll all be sight. Come on. Did you know that every resident of hell has forfeited their chance for faith? If you get your 70 and 10, by reason of strength 70, your 70 to 80 years, that's the only time in your life you get to live by faith. It's the only chance we get. Oh, I wish I could just drum roll. The importance of looking at our faith as being something precious and directing it all toward God, embracing some of the simple things, the basics, to strengthen our faith so we can stand against the bullies and be the men and women of God we're to be. Your enemy, Satan, will attack nothing more than your faith. If God is faith, he's doubt. How do you know the first words recorded of Satan? Did God say? Well, boy, it's quiet. Blessed quietness. When you sing that one? It's good to be quiet, isn't it, sometimes? To be still and know that he is God. You know what? This sermon should apply to everybody in this room. I want my strength to be faith. I want my faith to be stronger this time next year than it is right now. Anybody want in on that? I don't want to live in the same. I don't live in yesterday's grace, yesterday's faith. Because as David said, cast me not off and told when my strength faileth. My strength physically is failing. That's what he's making reference to. But your spiritual strength can become stronger and stronger and stronger. To the point you're just looking forward to the day when you get to see him face to face. Will you say to him, when he says, I'm coming, and he says, come quickly. Faith like that. Well, tomorrow we'll try to quote another 6 verses and try to unpack. Have I been too intense? Is it okay? Oh, I'd love to be out there where you're at and criticize the preacher or something. Take a shot at him. Oh, yes. God bless you. Now, I'll make one more comment and we'll be dismissed. I should have done this a little bit earlier with praying. Remember when Jesus, the disciples said, book number 2 that I wrote, Lord, teach us to pray. How do you know what he did with them? He gave him a prayer. He said, well, pray after this manner. He did that in Matthew when he's teaching in the Sermon on the Mount and says, pray after this manner. Our Father who art in heaven, he just gives him a prayer. At 3 different places, 3 different times in Scripture, he makes reference 2 times, almost identical, and another one includes a lot of the prayer of Jesus. This was a prayer he prayed. So he had a prayer. This morning, every morning, I have for years now, hand me this. Yeah, maybe I should do it that way. Or I'll put them in 2 different places. This is my morning prayer. Would you put them back there somewhere. Or if you want one of these, just hand them out, okay? This morning when I woke up, 5:30. Hallelujah, I had a good night's sleep last night. And I said, I've made it my custom. I need structure. If I don't, I will wander. I have a tendency, prone to wander, Lord, I feel. Any of you? Lord, prone to leave the God I love. I need government to keep my liberty safe. How do you know legalizing marijuana is not going to solve the problem? Come on. I need government to do this. So here's what I do. I wake up this morning, and as every morning, and as soon as I'm awake, and I wake up, I said, Lord, I love you. I praise you. I bless you. I glorify your holy name, for you are God, and there is none else. You are God, and there is none other. You declare the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things which have not yet been done. Behold, all your counsel will stand, and you will do all your pleasure. Then I go into a few moments that's never the same of worship. Sometimes I'll sing a hymn to him in my spirit, not out loud. Joyce right next to me. It took years to develop a time when I woke up, I was awake and could do this because I had such a temptation. Just always go back to sleep. And then I take my positions against the world, the flesh, and the devil. That is the prayer I pray every morning. I say, Lord, I choose a day to die to self, to put off, and I don't do it this way. I'm doing this quickly right now. I choose today to die to self, to put off the old man and put on the new. Everything in that prayer is scripture. There's a reference behind things. Why do you pray? Because the word of God is powerful. I choose today to die to self, to put off the old man, put on the new, to take up my cross and follow you. I yield all my rights to you, laying every one of them at the foot of the cross. I yield my right to be right, to be appreciated, accepted, understood, believed, forgiven things. I have 35 things that I yield to God because I know there's going to be a temptation today to grab a hold of that, and I've learned it is the refusal to die to self that makes me miserable. And if I'm ever going to be a disciple of Christ, I have to die to self. I would rather kill someone else. Anybody know what I just said there? I want other people to straighten up so it's easy. If you change, it doesn't matter if anybody else changes. And when I lay those things down, and then I take my position against the world, all that is scripture. Because the world, I don't feel like, has had the pull on me that it's had, and yet there are times I feel so worldly, so of this earth, earthly. But in the morning, I start my day. In the morning, O Lord, I direct my prayer unto you. So I have a prayer that I pray. For some people, it just may be a help to you. And don't take that and treat it like a lamp and a poof, the genie comes out. It may give you some scriptural direction to say, I need that prayer. I need to pray this on a regular basis. Warren Wiersbe said, when I'm taking my pajamas off, I'm putting my armor on. When I first read that, I thought he was nuts. I put my armor on every day. Because I know today, the devil who never stages a mock battle would love to have my scalp hanging from his belt. And he's taken a whole lot better men than me. I'm no match for him, but he's no match for Christ. And these things I need to affirm and remind myself of it. Heavenly Father, would you take this and somehow use it for good? Nothing new. God, if it's new, it's not true. If it's true, it ain't new. It ain't new. This stuff we all know. But, oh Lord, help us in our journey of faith to take responsibility for our faith, to strengthen it. May become ours, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom men, but in the power of God. And your word is living and powerful. And you, O God, are as good as your word, and your word's as good as you are. May we nourish our souls with the word of God. May you become that strong refuge to which we can run and find solace and find the peace that we so oftentimes forfeit. Help us, dear God. Help us in these days, oh God, where faith seems to be failing the saints. Their faith, they're walking away. God, there's a falling away, an apostasia, away from standing firm to now negotiating and compromising with the truths of your word and changing colors, chameleoning. Oh God, help us to be men and women that are strong in our faith. And we'll be careful to thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.